Hebrews chapter 4.
Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us the gospel was preached as well unto them, speaking of the children of Israel, going in the promised land, called it the rest. But the word preached did not profit them. Everyone say, that's not me. It's not us. Not being mixed with faith. People don't understand what faith is. There's a lot of things you do, especially when you're called. You can give yourself to your calling, your ministry, service, anointing. But there's this element. If you don't do this right here, life is not going to be experienced in the fullness. Neither will breakthrough. The mixing of faith is like, the word of God is like the engine. The car and the engine. But faith is the fuel that makes everything go. And without faith, nothing goes anywhere. Nothing gets activated. Faith is an activating force that activates the kingdom. Faith with wisdom can activate the creative realm. Everything we do in this mountain is of faith. The mountain's culminating in faith right now. There was a realm that Anna and I hit yesterday when we got back into this arena that was just, I mean, authority. I've never felt such authority. I understand why demons tremble. They don't tremble at you. They don't even tremble at you bringing the religious name of Jesus to people, but they tremble when you come out of the authority of God. When you're wearing the authority of God, it's your faith in that name, but it's the authority that goes with it. I mean, you feel that authority. It's intense. It doesn't always happen, but man, days like that, you know, mountains are moving. You can speak and things move out of the way. It's incredible. And so God is asking us to live a lifestyle of faith. You're going to be in faith or works. There's really no two other things to do. Because if you move out of faith, if you lay down the faith down, you'll immediately have to employ works. There's just no in between. You'll gravitate to works if faith is not an operation. Faith was designed, and I'll tell you what faith is in a minute in case you don't know what it is. Faith is designed to be activated daily. It's a lot like working out. How many of you work out when you get in the rhythm? When you get into the groove, it's just, you can do it. But when you get out of the groove and drag yourself back in the gym, I mean, it's like no fun. It's like you're not in the rhythm. You're not in the groove. You're not in momentum. Write this down. Faith has a momentum to it. What happens is you see someone in faith and mountains are moving and you're trying to operate in there, but they're operating in a momentum that was created over time and discipline. Faith requires discipline too, because it's not someone who can come out of the gate for a month. It's someone who can do it all the time and stay in there like the Titanic. You remember those big engines that cranked up, those men that were down in the fire and they were throwing those logs in there, and then those huge pistons were having to turn by steam. That fire was creating that steam, and then finally got it rolling, started rolling. And then they got going on the water. Everything's going, everything's smooth. And then they see the iceberg, and you can't stop a Titanic that's moving across the water. It'll plow whatever's in front of it over. Amen. But the kingdom of God will just plow darkness over. But darkness won't move if faith is not an activation. It doesn't matter how much wisdom we have, how much revelation we have, how much we sow into the arena of revelation. If we don't move that word to faith and mix it, if it doesn't get mixed, we won't develop the kind of momentum to move a mountain that's out of the way. And so what happens, we can be people that are full of wisdom, full of revelation, but we don't have that faith factor. We're not going to develop the momentum to move that car to the next level. Faith will cause the movement of the kingdom. The word, though, faith needs the word, because before we used to use faith, we didn't have near the kind of wisdom we have. So when you have faith and wisdom together, it's quite a combo. So I want to share a few things about faith and what it takes. When I was leading prayer Friday night, the Lord kept having me look up at the clock. And in 20 minutes, we had already gone into the throne of grace, down into the Jordan, back to the throne of grace, into the righteousness, and we were entering the lily's rest after 20 minutes. By 40-minute mark, we were already through the Father. Now, we were rolling, but I'm just saying what all you could do. In 1 hour, we went all the way back here. In 1 hour's time, that's not even a tithe of a day. A tithe of the day is 2.5. I mean, could you imagine God said, could you not pray 2.5 hours? He knew better. I mean, disciples falling asleep, and he'd just go in the garden. They'd fall asleep, come back. He'd come back. They'd fall asleep again. He goes, go on, sleep. You know, just get it over with. Praise God. He goes, but he said, could you not 1 hour? If we can move our life in a position 1 hour a day and be disciplined to that hour more than anything else. Now, there are going to be times you're going to get challenged. There are going to be times you're going to be greater than others. But once you learn to do that, it's like working out 1 hour. You get in the rhythm. Once you get that rhythm, don't lose it. Stay with it. Don't let it go. Problem is, people working out in the world, they don't have a devil. We have a devil that tries to stop our progression. So you have to become wiser than him. And you got to fight for that time. Sometime you got to fight for it. I mean, even when Anna and I started praying together, it was a struggle for a while. But now we're on a roll. Amen. Sometimes she'll get up before me, or I'll get up, and we're rolling though, and we get into the groove and we get going. And yesterday we were battling real heaviness. How many ever deal with heaviness? Oh man, that's a spirit, and you got to fight it. I could tell. But when we broke through that, the authority of God showed up. It was amazing. Now I'm realizing this momentum we're building right now, this mountain builds a momentum that's going to bring all this glory down into the earth. Amen. And this glory coming down into the earth is what we're looking for. This incredible inheritance coming down in the earth. So faith is fuel. Amen. Got to fuel up. I mean, you got to get fuel in that engine constantly. Faith's going to require a couple of things. And you'll find those in Romans 10. Let's go there. We have a specialized type of faith here. Now, this faith alone, this described in Romans 10, can be used by any believer in the world. They didn't have to go into the mountain. Romans 10, verse 6. The righteousness of faith speaketh. Say, speak. There's no such thing as faith without speaking. It's just not possible. A major catalyst of release is you must open your mouth and move it. I love to lay down before the Lord, and I love to just sit quietly. And so I can do all that. But I found you're going to get a lot further by speaking. You're going to move into the depths of God by keeping your mouth rolling. It speaketh. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into the heaven and bring Christ down, or who shall descend in the deep to bring Christ up again. What that's saying is you got to know that what he did was finalized. It's finished. You don't have to bring him back down again to do it all over again. He's operating off a finished work. We don't need to bring him back down for that purpose to open the veil. He's already done that. We're ascending and bringing it down now. Praise God. All right. What saith it? What saith faith? Verse 8. The word is nigh you. It's nigh. Better keep it close to the heart. Amen. If your neighbor say, keep it close to the heart, there's somebody who wants to steal it. The enemy, he wants two things. He wants to steal your car and the fuel in it. If he steals the fuel, then you're going to have a car that's parked all the time. Amen. But what he really wants is just to steal the car altogether. He wants to take the word from you. But we're not going to let him do that. Amen. The word's not even your mouth and in your heart, not your head. In your heart, that word has to move from the realm of the heart and be spoken from that realm. The only way to really, really do that in effectiveness, the way that we do this, and this is by far, turn to Phileo Man, the book of Phileo Man. Praise God. Philemon. Now, word in the heart, word in the mouth. Here's the key. People say, how long do I have to do this? This is the lifestyle of an overcomer. This is the hard thing to do. People love to go to church. They love to go to conferences. They love to go to prophetic conferences. Why? They're looking for a word. They want somebody to tell them what God thinks about them. Or you can climb up into the Father and know what God thinks about you all the time. Amen? To get people to do this on a daily basis is difficult. You can get them out of the gate for a month, maybe 2 months, but get them to keep going and keep going and keep going, it requires a discipline. It just does. And you have to understand that there is a prize at the end of your discipline. There is a prize, and you have to believe that. You have to believe there is a prize that God is going to shift and change things and transform everything about us. Amen? And we're looking for that. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, the communication of our faith. So faith, what? Communicates, right? No communication, no fuel. No fuel, no car going nowhere. Amen. Car you may have already set the GPS for the destination. But you can't get there without faith. Faith is going to activate those wheels. Man, the better you get at it, that word will sometimes pour out of you like rushing mighty waters. The way I could describe it to you, I keep using movies, Lord of the Rings. You remember when she had Frodo? He'd been stabbed and she takes him across the river to Rivendell. And then that dude had some serious imagery. He had those black horses. They looked mean. And they were all standing on them, and she says, come on. I mean, she was in her territory now. And they started to come across the river, and she started praying in tongues. I'll just call it praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, man, this water comes out. And I mean, this massive water. And then you see these white horses that are made of water rushing through the water and just plows over. That's what it feels like sometimes when you get in to the mountain moving kind of faith. This is the kind of faith that's more reserved for this realm when you're coming back out from the realm of authority. It's not all the time. I don't try to generate that kind of authority, but it's on me. It'll come out like that. And that is when mountains move. Man, we were addressing some things yesterday, and that's when you know you have authority, power over the enemy, and you are executing the judgment that has been written. The high praise of God in your mouth and the two-edged sword in your hand to execute the judgment that has been written. Faith will communicate. It can communicate softly, which we do up the mountain. I call the first half the lamb, the second half the lion. Amen? It can communicate ferociously. The key is it's in your mouth. It's in your heart, and it communicates. Faith, communication, your faith becomes effectual or effective. We need effective faith now. Amen? We are a targeted faith. Every one of these arenas up here for a reason. They give you certain things, but this arena is like no other because it's getting you up into the realm of the creative. That's what this is about. It's about the Father's love, getting the orphan out of you, making you a son, making you an heir, and then bringing out the creative realm of the Father. Amen? It's communicated now. Communication of thy faith becomes effective. Communication of your faith becomes effective by acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. So you don't have anything good in you. Knowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ. There's a lot of good stuff up in you. There's a kingdom inside of you. Father's in you. Jesus in you. Holy Ghost in you. Word of faith is in your heart. See, word of faith, tree of life, all that kingdom's in you. Your heart's the access, Christ, the access gate to it. Amen? Faith's going to communicate. I like to do this because picture's better than 1,000 words, so Anna, come here because I can communicate with you so easy. If I'm communicating with Anna, if I'm telling her I love her, say, baby, I love you. You're the most amazing woman. Thank you for all the years that you put up with me. Thank you for standing with me. Now we're standing together in the Lord. Now see, okay, now I'm communicating with my eyes. So you look, now this is what it's not. Even though my minds right now on other things, but I do love you. You know how I love you, right? What is acknowledgement?
I will add also, when you do look into the eyes of the one you are speaking to, you're also speaking to their spirit. But also, when you're doing that, you're releasing, especially when you're speaking those words of love and affirmation like that, that releases dopamine. It's the pleasure center of your brain that affects your heart. It affects your whole being. Your whole soul begins to receive, and it does lift up your heart, and it lifts up your soul.
Amen. What does acknowledge mean when it means effective faith? It means that we're going to have to be focused on what we're acknowledging. In other words, if I'm in the lily's grace and I'm supposed to be, my eye being singularly interwoven into that particular revelation, I'm supposed to focus from the heart and stay in the heart and speak what I see and say. But what happens, it's kind of like praying in tongues sometimes. You can start praying in tongues, your mind can move over here. When you start doing this so long, you can actually say the words, but your focus starts shifting out. And it starts going into solving a problem, to-do list, yesterday, tomorrow, you know, whatever that's on your heart. Once that problem with this is, when I first started faith a long time ago, when we were moving mountains, I didn't have to have that focus. I could just speak. I just speak those words, speak them. But now God's brought it. This mountain requires focus because it's the highest level of worship. Because you have to bring your spirit. You can worship God like this and your heart beats somewhere else. He requires attention. Be attentive to my words. Bind them about thy neck. Keep them on the frontlets of thy eyes. So this focused position is the most difficult for people to obtain. And it's a learning experience. Once you do this, you'll use this operation for every single part of that mountain, forward and backwards. It is the primary operation of acknowledgement through focus with the word in your heart and in your mouth. It requires all of that to move properly. The reason why people don't get in, they may not have enough revelation. Or they're trying to move by the revelation they're saying, but they start drifting off. When you start drifting, and everyone's going to do it, so don't beat yourself up. When you start drifting, in the beginning, it's part of being undisciplined. You have to catch yourself and pull yourself back in and set back into the acknowledgement to where you're back in a focused position. And I'm acknowledging that's why he uses imagery, because you don't think in words. You think in images. Your heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, is going to lock to an image. Without an image to lock onto, you can't stay there. The word's going to produce an image that's going to cause you to lock in. Without locking in, that's why a lot of people say, well, why do you use the carpet of red? There's no carpet of red in the Bible. Well, there's the blood of Jesus, new and living way. So just put the blood of Jesus in the new and living way, and you got a carpet of red. You're going into a king's court. Every other castle in the world has red carpet. Every throne in the world has red carpet. Why wouldn't God have red carpet? I don't care if you do the red carpet or not. I want to tell you why I do it. When I see him as the living doorway, again, an image, I see the pillar of Boaz and Yochin. I see Solomon's temple, huge. And he stands at the pillar of glory between the pillars. And I see that pillar of glory and I walk in. I just hold that and I step in by faith. Now, when I step in, I need an anchor. And what I do is I just go like that with my foot. I see a carpet of red and I step in. And as soon as I do that, I'm aware I'm inside. Once I'm aware I'm inside, I can just start walking now towards the throne of grace. Amen. It's the anchor and the acknowledgement and the focus. And I'm speaking, I'm seeing, and I'm focused the whole time. Amen. As you do that, and you'll learn more and more focus, you'll start moving into greater dimensions of God. Amen. Because now you're moving the way he wants you to move, by faith and not by any other means. If you do it by faith, your faith's going to grow. When your faith grows, these arenas are easier to access. Amen. Once they get easier to access, you start moving more freely. And you'll start learning a little bit more about these realms. Why the lily's grace is so important? Because it's a literal, tangible atmosphere that puts works anxiety down. If you truly get into it, you'll feel the atmosphere of rest, and it'll start dismantling unrest. It'll start dismantling toil, labor, systems that you carry out from the world system. It'll dismantle it and bring it in to stillness. Amen? That is the mechanism of harmony where you'll move in every other arena in the kingdom of God in a glorious way. That's why it's there. Very powerful place. Now, so faith is a voice, it's in the heart, and there's a focus. Those three, when you get good at those three, you're going to move freely through that mountain, up and down. Amen? And you're going to get into the creative realm where God wants to bring us, where he has brought us, praise God. So as I'm moving in these arenas, I've got focus. When you're beginning and you can't quite get your bearings, you can't focus very well. The way to start developing focus is a little skill the Holy Spirit showed me a long time ago. And you actually don't even have to be in this mountain to do this. You just start becoming aware. Take 5 minutes. Set your clock. 5 minutes. But I'd like you to do this. If you're serious and you're having problem with discipline, especially focus. If anybody fights with focus, raise your hand. Okay, there we go. Okay, if you're fighting focus, then we have to get tuned in. The one that's going to tune you in more than anybody is the Holy Spirit. He is the tuner. Amen? He can get you in the frequency. So we're going to get in tune with him first. So even before we do this, I don't do this a lot now. I used to because I'm already in tune going in. But if you're out of tune, you want to start with the Holy Spirit. What we're going to do is practice awareness. And all we're going to do is take one or two scriptures, maybe three. That's it. And we're going to start acknowledging the Holy Spirit with us and in us, or in us and around us. I want the sensation that he's with me and he surrounds me. I want to feel a surrounding atmosphere. I want to know he's with me. Holy Spirit, you've come to abide. I want to say it. I want to hold his word in my heart. And I want to feel the sensation that I'm encompassed in some type of atmospheric cloud around me. Holy Spirit, you've come to abide and dwell with me and in me forever. You are my comforter. You have come to lead me and to guide me. And I have received you. And now you're with me. And I acknowledge that you're with me. Now, when I'm doing that, I'm acknowledging his presence with me. And I'm focusing his presence with me in my heart. And I also want to feel that he surrounds me. Now, as I'm doing this, I'm getting centered. My focus is getting centered. What he's doing is starting to tune my frequency into the realm of the spirit and out of the natural. I don't know if you just felt that shift right there. I just went straight into the glory. Now, when you do that, I want you to do that, if you're having a problem, 3 to 5 times a day. Take 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. You can take 3 minutes, and just practice the focus. And then when you feel yourself drift off, come back until you can feel that you've been set. Your frequency's been set, centered in the spirit. You can feel his atmosphere around you. Now he's with you. Now guess what? He was always with you. What's the difference? You feel him now. Why do you feel him? Because you acknowledged him. You can write this down. It's a huge principle. The kingdom of God, light cometh by revelation and acknowledgement. If you do not acknowledge something in the kingdom, it will not come to life. It will sit there. Do you know how many people are baptized in the Holy Ghost and never do anything with it? Their whole life he lives in them and does nothing. Because they don't acknowledge. So as you acknowledge, he's going to tune your frequency. As soon as he tunes your frequency in, start moving in. Amen. So you're having a hard time, start practicing that, and he can get you that frequency aligned into the spirit. If you have a question concerning that, let me know, because if you don't get what I just said, you can't move in these arenas very effectively. You have to have focus, acknowledgement, the word, and it's got to be in your mouth, in your heart, and you can't stop. Here's another thing. When you encounter resistance, it can be atmospheric resistance. It can be resistance in your own life, strongholds. It can be resistance of the enemy. It can be all manner of types of resistance. What happens a lot of times, people encounter resistance, they just stop. And they just stop, and when they just stop, they just kind of put on a song, and they just lay there. Now, that's good, because you'll just kind of move in this semiconductor piece thing, but you're not going up fully. You're going to miss the realms of God. So you have to make yourself continually speak, and this is where faith comes in, when you don't want to speak. That means you got to throw wood in the fire and get some steam going. And there are going to be times you are literally going to want to give up. There will be times it gets intense, and sometimes you'll just get whooped that day. That's just going to happen sometime. But more times than not, when your faith gets strong, you're going to plow right through, and you're going to be a battering ram, and you're going to bust that atmosphere. Because here's the deal. If you let that atmosphere manipulate you, it's going to keep manipulating you. Year after year, it'll keep pushing you back. It's designed for that. It's called an atmospheric thief. They come to steal your access into the kingdom. Amen. Got to fight through. Focus. You got to keep speaking through.
I can add also, yesterday, it was exceptionally difficult once we had gotten out there, got settled into our seats, because we could feel so much of the opposition. And as we had started and were engaging and going through the process with those, like those milestones that we know, it's like you get to this place and then you get to this place. But I found myself experiencing so much of that heaviness, and wasn't the weightiness of the glory of God. It was like a weighty fatigue. And he goes, we've got to really push through. And I'm like, I know. And I got up and I kind of just moved around a little bit, but then we like moved back in, and there was a reinforced sense of purpose and perseverance that we moved into. And as we were both continuously confessing and speaking, I speak the things that I'm speaking and undergirding what he's saying. But because we're multidimensional, you're hearing what he's saying, but also you're partnering with Holy Spirit and yielding to Holy Spirit, inviting Holy Spirit to pray in you and through you. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you, that you tap into the perfect will of the Father. And that's what I do as I'm engaging. It's like, Lord, we want the perfect will, your perfect will. I ask that you speak through me, speak through my spirit. And then as we kept pressing and pressing and pressing, you feel this explosion on the inside of you. There's like this surge of strength that rises up, and it's like you broke through, you busted through, and then you keep going and you keep going and you keep going. But then it's like you are in another realm, because you know that you bypassed all the heaviness that is here and even that which is the opposition of the second heaven. But you don't give up. You keep pressing in. You keep your mouth going and your heart engaged. And you see that you've humbled yourself. You see that the Lord has lifted you up. You see yourself translated through that door, which is Christ, who is already bidding us to come. Holy Spirit helps us get us there. And then you have the Lord and Jesus, who inevitably bring you before the Father. And then it's like he causes you to see those things on the inside of you with each of those engagements. It's markers that really help you know, okay, next, next, next. And he's far more skilled at this than I have been, but also by in praying with him in an agreement, just like we have with the special prayers online. That's how many people start this journey. It's being in that prayer partnership with him, just as we're doing here, as we're activating that, because your spirit gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and then you start wanting more and more and more, and you won't get tapped out, because that's what the enemy's trying to do. There is a wrestling. If you think about wrestling within those, you know, wrestlers, you know, and they tap out, I can't do this, I'm, you know, fatigued. Speak to your body. Speak to your soul, your spirit. It's like the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Recognize that. That's what the flesh being put down and that soul being quieted.
Yeah, that's awesome. Matthew 13. Now let me take this to one more level, because if you don't get this part, there's going to come a time, no matter even how far you go in the Father's love and His glory and His presence, that you're going to want to start seeing the manifestation of His glory in the earth. It's not going to be enough for you over time just to go to that first half. Your first times you're going up, it's enough. But it's going to come to the point it's not enough. You want to see Him move through you. You want to see promises. You want to see Him activate into the earth. It's a natural aspect of who we are in God. And without that, we are incomplete. Without that, we are incomplete because He wants us to rule and reign with Him as much as He wants us to fellowship with Him. God wants our union. He wants our fellowship. He wants our love. And going up in the mountains is one of the greatest things ever. But you're going to find when He comes down with you, if He's coming down by the gift realm, you're not going to encounter Him near as much. But if He's coming down from the glory realm, you're going to encounter Him as much, Him coming down, as you did going up. It's not going to be diminished. His love, His glory, His grace will be with you in what you do, with you in promise. And when you learn that part, He's going to shift you to promise. You're going to have to move to promise. You're going to have to move to desire of the heart. Say desire of the heart. If you don't get desires of your heart met and fulfilled, and I'm not talking about just Him loving you. That's one desire. Well, He's my only desire. I don't need anything. That's just not true. Everybody needs God to move down here. If you don't absolutely need zero, then do it for somebody else. But we need God down here big time. Amen. We have desire. He sets His kingdom in us to operate and function down here. But I just want to show you this part. Been in it lately. Go to Matthew 13. I want to show you this part before we pray today. This part is moving fast. Amen. This is a glorious part. Praise God. I like this particular verse just because I saw it. I want you to see it. You need to say this every day. Verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears that hear. Blessed are my eyes that see and my ears that hear. Blessed am I coming in and going out. Blessed in the city and the field. My gates are open continuously day and night. They shall not at all be shut. You got to learn to talk like this. You got to let the rivers of revelation and word come out of you in the earth. Because that's an activation of faith that's going to move the kingdom into the earth. It's work sometime. And what people do is get religious and say, well, that's just works. As soon as they feel any effort whatsoever, they say, oh, well, that's got to be works because it's got to take some effort. The kingdom takes effort. He defines what must we do to work the works of God. He said, believe. It's a work. It's just not works from the world system. It takes energy sometime. It takes stamina sometime. It takes a will to do it and a discipline to do it. And you got to know that He's going to reward you if you do it. You got to know He's going to move you from one place that you've been stuck in to the next place where you're unstuck. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to move mountains. He goes, I got to get their mouth. I got to own their mouth. I got to own their mouth, and you got to get it rolling in the right direction. You got to think about using your mouth more than your labors of your life. Your mouth can open opportunities that the labors of your life will never open. Your mouth can open the floodgates of heaven. Amen. But you got to have that mouth rolling. That's what a lot of people don't want to do. And what happens? They just gravitate back to their function. And what happened? They live in their function, but they're not moving forward, right? Matthew 13, verse 33. Probably singing the most powerful single verse there is when it comes to the creative realm of God. Another parable He spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took She hid in the 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. The woman is wisdom, 7 spirits of God. She's the one mixing. The bowl is inside your heart. She's going to mix some oil. That happens to be my word, so that's the word that I carry. But she's going to mix in 3 things. The word that's been sent to you, she's going to mix that with dunamis power. And she's going to mix that with the most important aspect of all of it. The word dunamis, that's the creative substance by which God created everything, the invisible. It's not invisible anymore to us that can see. Why? Because blessed are my eyes that see and my ears that hear. The one thing that you're going to have is the creative realm of the Father, His creative thoughts, the dream realm, the perambulation realm. Every time you perambulate, those thoughts, that day that the Father's creating, that promise is being transferred into your bowl. Every time you do it and go through it successfully, it's in essence transferring a living design, living will, living thoughts, living plan, living purpose of the Father that's finished into your bowl. Mixing in with the very word that you brought in. Right? The word was your door, your access. It was your right to perambulate. It was the word of promise. But that word of promise needs to be clothed with the creative thoughts of the Father. And then the dunamis. I just want to show you this operation of faith is the highest, in my opinion. Highest, highest, highest there is. Dunamis, word, Father's creative thoughts in your bowl. Once that day gets mixed, that is a mixture. You can call it oil or she's baking a cake. It's going to leaven in the heart. It's 11. It leavens inside. What we're looking is the 11 effect. The 11 effect is the mystery. It causes the expansion of the kingdom. It just happens. And when it happens, it's going to bust out of you into the earth. Like a river is going to break out. This leavening, increase, multiplication. And when you get that mixture right, and that day gets set into your spirit, we're looking for the leavening. Every day we're coming in with expectation, or the bursting out of the oil, or out of your belly will flow rivers. What's in that river is what was being mixed in there. That's what's coming out from you. Amen. That's the creative realm we're looking for. That's the breakthrough realm we're looking for. That's the one everyone's looking for. When it breaks forth and everybody on this side then moves to this side, then we'll all sit on this side again. Amen? Because these two realms become one now. Kingdom of heaven on the earth as it is in heaven. Amen? That's the final kind of faith. And that's the one you'll be operating the rest of your life with. Amen? So what God wants is faith. And He wants you to gear up every day. When I go in, I don't feel like it. I just don't most of the time. But I already know, my feelings will change. So what I do is I start moving my mouth. I start moving my mouth. And I start moving my frequency in. And once I get rolling, there's going to be a part of that mountain I'm going to shift. I'm going to start feeling like it again. And all of a sudden, it's going to get on me. And then I never know what's all going to come out. You never know what's going to happen in there. But you got to know, you just got to get started. Now, do you have to do this? No. But I believe this is what's bringing the creative into the earth. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it's going to open a realm of the Father we haven't seen before. And I'm placing my whole life on that promise. Amen? But I have some pretty good evidence inside of me right now that we're on the right track. And I got a whole lot of substances telling me we're on the right track. And though no natural eye has seen it yet, does the eye of our heart see it? It's in us. It's with us. It's bursting forth. Amen?